Good day, listeners. This is your host, Michael Martins, with the Martins Critical Review, broadcasting this morning from a nearly bluebird day here in south-central British Columbia. In today's program, I present you with a novel solution to an ever-emerging problem, access to real healthcare. Today, we will explore a new and exciting innovative healthcare modality, Remote Health Solutions, a non-discriminatory healthcare provider. Joining us for this episode is Adam Hartage, CEO of Remote Health Solutions. Mr. Hartage is a U.S. Special Operations veteran, having graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy in 1997 and went on to serve in 6 deployments in 4 different conflicts, seeing service in Iraq, Afghanistan, West Africa, Jordan, and Syria. Today, Mr. Hartage sees his current mission clear as day, defending medical freedom and providing access to honest, transparent, and ethical care for people, which is something you cannot find in America's current medical industrial complex. His goal is to leave America in as good a shape as it was given to him, and adds, "We are in a war for the very idea what it means to be an American and to be free. This is the hill that I will die on." Mr. Hartage, welcome to the show. It is an honor to speak with you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate you having me. It is a real pleasure to be on your show.
Very good. Very good. So let's start off today, perhaps if we could, sharing a bit of your background with listeners, getting them to know a little bit more about you, and perhaps what were your original motivations to join the armed forces?
Sure. It's a long story. We could talk for, you know, a couple hours on just that, I would think, just on the military service aspect of things. But I'll kind of give a short version of that, and that is, coming out of high school, I was looking for a challenge, and I really wanted to find out who I was and what I was made of and how far I could push myself. And my father had gone to the Air Force Academy. It was the 3rd graduating class ever in its history. And I went out with him. I saw the place, and I saw, you know, the cadets parachuting into the stadium and the big squadrons marching on and the jets flying over. And I mean, come on, that's like the greatest recruitment ad for a kid ever. You know, the promise of being a fighter pilot and going to, you know, just, I get to go be Top Gun, Mr. Maverick, you know, by myself. So I was all in. Well, fast forward a few years. I was not pilot qualified because of my color vision, which was a bummer. And that was a real heartbreak of, frankly, years and years and years I'd wanted to be a fighter pilot. And so long story short, I spent some time as a communications guy. I was working mostly in special operations, Air Force special operations, and then 9/11 happened. And that's when I was just about ready to get out of the Air Force. In fact, I'd already put in my paperwork to resign my commission after 5 years. And then 9/11 happened, and I thought, well, that just changed everything. And then I said, well, since I can't go be a fighter pilot, I want to know how deep down the rabbit hole I can go. I want to pull back the curtain and meet the wizard as far as the clandestine, top secret, special operations, tippity tip of the spear type thing goes. And so I went on a journey for the next, let's call it, I guess, probably 8 years almost to actually get to that point. Ultimately, I ended up as a clandestine operations officer for the Defense Intelligence Agency, specifically the Defense Clandestine Service. And that's where most of my time was spent as far as real world experience, combat service, that kind of thing. And so Iraq, Afghanistan, West Africa, Jordan, Syria, I mean, you named them. Those were all different conflicts. I've gotten to go against pretty much every flavor of Al Qaeda there is. I'm not a big fan of that organization, to say the least. I thought 9/11 was a pretty inexcusable day. I know it's still even too close to, frankly, even really talk about, and certainly it's too close to joke about. But it was an incredibly formative event in my life. It still is. And I saw red that day. I remember that day perfectly, 9/11. I'm sure, you know, you're old enough, you remember exactly where you were, what you were doing. I had just sat down. This is an interesting little sidebar, so I'll give it to you. So please. I just sat down at my computer. I was the chief of base communications. It's for Hurlburt Field, which is the head of Air Force Special Operations. So if you think about that, I was the chief of base communications. I was in charge of all communications as a young captain, in and out of the base, everything else. And I sat down on my computer that day, and all of a sudden, a red banner starts scrolling across my screen, and it says, you know, basically update or alert or something like that. And it was like, you know, small plane hits World Trade Center, blah, 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 whatever the message was. But I remember thinking in that moment, first off, this is very different. I've never seen anything like that on my screen. Secondly, I'm the chief of base communications with a top secret clearance. Where the hell did this just come from? You know, how did this even get on our computers? And I'm the chief of communication. Like, you would think that I would know even what this protocol or program was. I still don't know to this day. But, and actually, I just never even bothered to ask the question later, because as you know, after the events of that day certainly sped up a lot of things and changed a lot of priorities in people's minds. So I said, after that day, I said, I want to kill them all. You know, I want to go to war. I don't care where the war is. I don't care, you know, what it takes. I'm in. I had a weird career. I spent a few years in Army National Guard with a Special Forces group. I spent time as a clandestine operations guy, as a government civilian. I had my Air Force time, and then I was ultimately ended up as a contractor over at the agency for a few years doing some other stuff. And so I really did pull back the curtain and meet the wizard. And I will tell you that I'm one of the, not to toot my own horn, but this is a fact. So when I speak to people, I give my opinion about stuff. It's usually because I come from a place of knowledge and experience on it. When I'll say, like, so for example, the people that are in the QAnon movement who are selling hopium that the US military, that there's a big plan, nothing can stop what is coming. It's all going to be fine. We just got to sit back and eat our popcorn. I'm like, guys, stop. Stop smoking that stuff. God helps those who help themselves. And not only that, but if you, this is the oldest PSYOP in the book, is tell your enemy that somebody else is solving the problem so that the enemy doesn't actually bother to train or keep their weapons and their minds sharp or whatever else, right? So if I convince you that, don't worry, I got this, man, I got this, then you can sit on your couch and, you know, pop Cheetos and watch football and be like, that's okay, Adam and his guys got it. But in reality, there's no military coming. There's no hope in that regard. The hope lies in each one of us. It lies in every single patriot. It lies in every single father and every single mother. Frankly, I mean, the thing these days that I'm fighting for and that I'm all about are the children. Though I've never seen anything like this, a war against our children. We see that every single day now. FDA saying, oh yeah, we're going to give experimental jabs to 6-month-olds. You want to come near my 3-year-old son with that jab? Let me just say, never trust a man with a pig farm, a wood chipper, and a backhoe. You know?
Interesting. Yeah. And certainly the statement there about the hopium, it's interesting that you're using that term as well. I've used that up here as well with a number of these freedom organizations that continue to say to the Canadian public, those who are paying attention, you know, oh, you know, things are changing, people are waking up. And and to me, this is pandering hopium. The real message should be, we are in dire straits. You know, you need to take action to protect yourself from this horde of people that, you know, it is truly the unwashed masses that aren't paying attention, that for whatever reason have abdicated their own responsibility for their personal self and are looking to something to save them. And the only thing that's going to save you is your own will and your own desire and your own actions.
Well, let's face it, Mike. I mean, we're all pretty comfortable people. Even those people, you know, when the government comes against you and tyranny happens, and so maybe you lose your job, maybe you're forced to get a jab, maybe your kid has to, you know, take the shot in order to stay in school, put the mask on, it's fine, bake the cake, it's fine, you know, just celebrate pride for a month, it's fine. It's not like it's 12 months out of the year, you just got to do it for 1 month, you know. It's, I mean, never mind that mothers only get one day a year, you know, but let's give let's give people who want to take their sexual politics into the public square, let's give them a whole month. That makes sense. You know, I'm sure coming right out of, Indo-Pacific Islander Heritage Month straight into, gay pride, I'm sure that's just got to make everybody feel so special and just and included in such an inclusive environment. And I'm talking with a whole lot of irony and disdain and a little bit of satire, but I do it to illustrate a point, and that is, it's easier to scroll Instagram, Mike. I mean, it's easier to tune out. It's easier to say somebody else is going to do it. But then again, it's also like going to the gym. It's easier not to go to the gym. It is easier to stay up late and binge watch that show. It is harder to get up early in the morning and, be at it working before the crack of dawn. So there's a great meme I saw. And full disclosure, I do love Instagram. So, even though they keep canceling our company advertisements for saying things like medical freedom and liberated medicine, and they'll reject our ads, and we go back and are like, man, this is amazing. Like, you guys really hate America. You really hate freedom. You really hate the concepts that the Western civilization embraces. So anyway, but scrolling Instagram is fun. And I did see a great meme on there, and it says, it talks about all the things it's easier doing. And it says, it's hard to go to the gym, and it's hard to get up early, and it's hard to go to work, and it's hard to build a business, and it's hard to do all these other things, but all those things lead somewhere good. It's hard to raise a child. That's hard work, man. I got two kids, and boy, I love them more than I can ever tell you. And it's also the hardest thing in the world, right? My wife and I are a great team, but holy cow, man, kids are tough. Sure. They just are. Anybody that tells you that they're not is either a bad parent or they're lying. So, but do hard things, right? That's the point.
Yeah. So a lateral question.
To the Patriots, that's what I would say. Do hard things.
Yeah. So lateral question. I mean, we kind yes, of talking yeah. on, yeah, we, but it's interesting. And obviously with your global experience, I mean, are our enemies around the globe laughing their heads off at us and this woke mentality that we are introducing and promoting?
I wonder that because I try and put myself in the shoes of someone who is like a non-American, right? Like somebody who is a, let's say, Eastern culture or from the Middle East or, Russian, Cossack, whatever. I try and think, what are they envisioning? And I would think that a lot of them would frankly be scared a little bit right now. They'd be like, this place has lost its mind. And I'm terrified about what they're going to do. How's it they're the most well-equipped and armed country in the world, and they have literally lost control of every aspect of their society? I would be frankly terrified about what that implied for, because if you think about it, for their security, right? Like we're sending what, $40 billion, $80 billion, $100 billion, doesn't matter what the number is, to Ukraine, right? Meanwhile, Donald Trump tried for 4 years to get $5 billion to secure our border. Yeah. Yet nobody ever wants to secure our border. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They really genuinely want a mass invasion of our country to literally destroy the foundation that America is. But I have a thought about that too. And that is that, we are a land of immigrants and legal, illegal. Otherwise, apparently, we're just going to be a land of gangster immigrants now, which, hey, I'm not totally opposed to that either, because at the end of the day, if those people, and I don't care who they are for the most part, as long as they came here with the intention of finding a better opportunity and a better place for themselves and their family, brother, sister, come on, let's go. Because you know what? We got plenty of space in this country. And for every loser that comes in, or everybody with bad intentions that comes in, probably 10 people who just want something better are coming in. So, okay, that's fine. And not only that, let's put this in the public square of opinion. I don't mean as far as like, should immigration be illegal, legal, whatever. I am 100% for legal immigration. I am 100% against everything that is going on at the southern border. However, I will tell you, I do not hold those people who are coming here I don't hold them in blame for this. It is our government that is to blame for this. It is our policies that are to blame for this. So it's very important to like separate the crime from the criminal, and you know, as far as the intent and the actual who the real criminals are, because I think we all know that the real criminals are it's not mom and little daughter that are walking across the border in the middle of the night, you know, risking life and limb to do so. There's all these politicians that literally want nothing. The problem is, most people are like the mouse, in the sense of the mouse always gets killed by the cheese in the mousetrap, because the mouse never understood why the cheese was free. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think we are as a society. We have generally an uneducated society as far as our nation's history goes, as far as civilization and clash of empires goes, as far as U.S. history and civics. Let's just start with that. Ethics, sure. Morals, civics. So America is Alexis de Tocqueville said, you know, America is good because America, or America is great because America is good, right? So that implies a certain fundamental value set. Like, it's funny because people talk about, you know, the differences between Canada and the U.S. And I say, well, there's really not much other than the Canadians like too much hockey, but that's really a, and that's nobody can be perfect, right? And
Well, I think the it's interesting, the immigration situation at the southern border obviously is being perpetrated by the rabid left. Yeah. But I think it actually contradicts everything that the left stands for, because those people, many of them are coming across with, you know, either nothing or a shopping bag of their belongings. Mm-hmm. You know, they're starting from zero because they believe in the American dream. So it's actually what they're doing is the antithesis of what the politicians are trying to project across the American society, is that those people are coming across with absolutely nothing because they believe in the American dream. And to me, that's the greatest reinforcement of what America stands for.
It is, right? I mean, I would speak to your brothers and sisters, and or my brothers and sisters, I guess I should say, in Canada, and your audience up there, and say, hey, you all are the test case right now. Everything's happening up there with little Castro and the Canadian regime and stuff. It's a shot across the bow at the US of A to see, okay, how much will these people take? How much will they roll over? So, and we're in this age of just slow encroachment, you know, put on the mask, stay at home. It's just a job. You know, it's just one shot. It's just a booster. It's just one more thing. And I would implore all freedom loving Canadians. I mean, cause America is with you. And when I say America, I mean, your Southern brother. I know that you're Americans too. Don't be offended. Sometimes I've argued with a couple of Canadians in Ottawa about this. I'm like, we're all America, bro.
Well, and to that point about the demographics of the show are really split between Canada and America as well. I think many Canadians don't gravitate towards the messaging of this show because, you know, we are unfortunately largely leftists in this country, and you know, the socialist lie has really been bought and sold here. So when you're speaking, you're speaking to a lot of American listeners as well.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny too, because in America, I get the appeal of the socialist lie, of the communist lie. I mean, it sounds great, right? I mean, you know, you can pretty much abdicate all responsibility for your own life. You don't have to worry about stuff. You don't have to make hard decisions. You know, it's just fine. It's all handed to you. The problem is when you do that, you have ceded all control over your own life. So now all of a sudden those things that you didn't want to necessarily give up power on, like, I don't know, like your paycheck. Let's say you were poised for a great promotion. And when you're about to start, you're going to double your salary. But all of a sudden the government comes in, they say, well, not this month, Mike. Because you know what? We need you to take one for the team. Because this is really for the social order and well-being of all, not just you. And so we don't want you to be selfish. Selfish, Mike. We don't want you to be a jerk. Do you want to be a jerk? No, you don't want to be a jerk. You want to be a team player. And that's what they're going for. And I would caution all, run far, run fast.
Well, I mean, all these socialist and loving folks need to know is that people in Cuba are risking their lives drifting across the Caribbean Sea to try and get to America. You know, that's, again, if things were so good in that socialist paradise, then they wouldn't be risking their lives to get out of there.
Yeah, it's happened in every socialist paradise that's ever ruled in the world. And I will just tell you this very simply. That's never going to stand in America as long as I am breathing.
Oh, so, good for you. Yeah. So let's get back to remote health solutions here.
I'm supposed to pitch my company, right?
I understand that the original inspiration came as a result of a battle injury that you sustained in Afghanistan. Can you unpack that story with us and how it all came to be?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was really a battle injury. I mean, that sounds very glorious and everything, but it was not. It was an injury, I guess you could say an injury. So the 2 days prior to, I was supposed to rotate home from a deployment. We had just finished up doing a deployment in support of what they call the National Task Force. So we were hunting high value targets. In other words, like the worst of the worst, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS and Taliban, well, up in, it was in Kandahar at the time, and just getting ready to come home. And I woke up one day and I couldn't see and I couldn't walk. And it was the most bizarre thing. Anyway, long story short, not to bore your listeners to death, but I ended up going home and like a bunch of appointments later, a bunch of misdiagnoses and everything else. I found out that I had just developed multiple sclerosis, which was at the time I thought just kind of a weird and interesting data point. And then I got a call about a week later from my team leader. So there was only four of us on this team. It was a clandestine operations team. And I can't really go into much of it, but it was a whole lot of fun. And we were tasked with fighting bad guys. That's really what we did. We built networks and found bad guys. And then we would go give them kind of two options. You know, it would be like door A is, you know, come with us and have a chit chat in an orange jumpsuit and we'll see where it goes from there. And door B is, you know, well, we'll just put 6 feet under.
Here's a shovel, start digging.
Yeah. I think that part might go against the law of armed conflict. So we never make anybody dig their own grave. But if you want to come out shooting, we're going to shoot back. So, although rarely did that happen. So I got a call from my team leader about a week later. He had rotated home as well. And he said, well, man, I've got lupus. And I said, lupus? That's super weird. I just got diagnosed with MS. Both of these disease profiles typically affect women more than they do men. And both of these disease profiles are autoimmune diseases. And I was like, well, what are the odds that two out of the four of us came back with an autoimmune disorder from the same deployment? And, you know, in all honesty, I think now looking back on it, I think it's vax related.
Yeah, so, I would agree.
I mean, I've obviously in the last 2.5 years since they've started coming after everybody with, like, in March when this started of 2020, I remember my wife and I had just gone to the Miami Yacht Show. I'm really big into boats, so we'd gone to the Miami Yacht Show, and thank God we did because it was the last sort of free event type thing, you know, with prior to masks and everything else. Prior to all the craziness. And as we were coming back, I remember seeing that lockdowns were going into effect, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? And I looked at it and I just said, well, I guess everything that we've ever worried about and talked about and stuff is here, because this 2 weeks to flatten the curve, this is the warning shot. I guess it's not the warning shot. This is the first shot, not across the bow. This is right into the bulwark, you know, of the ship. Like this is, we are now officially at war. And a lot of people, you know, thought I was crazy and stuff. And I was saying, like, I mean, this is never going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. You have to understand that this is a fight, that this is war has been declared on us, but they're never going to tell you that they've declared war. That's the worst part about it, is the psychology of it, is that the PSYOP, the information warfare that is being played against the God-fearing, freedom-loving population of the West is brilliant. I will say I've never seen a more well-orchestrated overall information operation anywhere. And I will tell you, I was the head information czar in a foreign country. That was all I will say about that. But with one phone call, I could dictate to 10,000 outlets what the narrative of the day was. So anybody that thinks that is not happening to them or in the US, that is naive. That is simply naive. It just happens that we're not on the side of that. So we will never be invited into those closed door sessions to discuss this. But everything you are seeing is part of a controlled and dedicated operation to control your mind, your body, your space, and then ultimately it's going to get you to do what they want. So, and I know that I'm doing a terrible job at pitching our company, but here's the bottom line with regard to that. If your listeners are aligning with anything that I'm saying, then they'll be curious and interested enough to go look what our company is. And that's Remote Health Solutions, RHSUSA.com. We've got some amazing opportunities. We'd love to have you all on board. And that's all I'll say about it for now.
Yeah, and that's great. And this kind of background, that's why I was excited to get you on the program, because clearly your military service and your knowledge that you've gained therein is a unique set of experiences and knowledge. And so your interpretation is highly important in terms of assessing what's going on. I'd like to examine a quote from Amnesty International, a report on torture. And the quote is as follows. The most effective way to gain cooperation is through subversive manipulation of the mind and feelings of the victim, who then becomes a psychological as well as physical prisoner. I mean, you've just to sort of described that situation. What are your thoughts on that quote?
You know, there's a reason that Stockholm Syndrome was penned that and given a name, and then there's a stereotype for it. Stereotypes exist for a reason. That's usually because there's truth within it. And then further, I would say there's a reason that, and I just read this today, that it just came out that Fauci's NIA ID spent $500,000 trying to study how to transform monkeys psychologically to make them transgendered. Now, you would think, like, that's a headline I never thought I would read in my life. Gateway Pundit just put it out today. Not much makes my jaw drop anymore, but I read that one. I was like, of course they did. Of course they did. Because why wouldn't you? And so I would tell your listeners as some comfort, which in 10 minutes from now, they're going to forget it because they will have been bombarded by 1,000 other informations, 1,000 other pieces of information telling them the opposite. But you are being gaslit in the worst way. And you will never get the honest information out of any paid media resource outlet, as far as paid by, for example, if it's sponsored by pharma, by Pfizer, forget about it. So, and if you look, this is probably searchable on the internet with DuckDuckGo or something, but if you look up, you know, just there's a great video clip that is synopsis everything that Pfizer sponsors in the media. And it's almost every single mainstream channel, including Fox, including Newsmax. So where do you go and get your information? Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to trust and rely on a bunch of, tin foil hat wearing crackpot lunatics that are right, I would say, 75% of the time, which is pretty darn good. In this day and age.
Absolutely. You've stated that the medical industrial complex is broken. Can you share your thoughts as to why you've arrived at that conclusion?
Certainly, very simply. For the last year and a half, I've had phone calls from concerned parents, mothers, fathers, elderly patients that were Medicare patients, people that were turned away from hospitals because they were unvaxxed. People that were told their child who was 6 years old could not get treatment for a condition that they had because they were unvaxxed. Now think about that. There wasn't even a requirement back almost a year ago at this point. for a six-year-old to be vexed. And yet there were pediatric offices that would not see children if they were not vexed. It is, in my estimation, that is criminal negligence, if not willfully criminal negligence. And I'll also say that I'm the one silver lining in all of this that's happened over the last couple of years is that the leopards have all shown their spots.
Yes.
So, you know, at this point, take comfort in that for all your listeners, take comfort in that. You know who they are. And a lot of times they're in your own family.
Right.
And it frankly breaks my heart to even acknowledge that or have that discussion with you, because I have had members of my own family become very upset with me over any discussion regarding the vax. And I feel for them. It's horrible because they're all, every single one of my family is jabbed, and that's fine. That's their choice. That is your choice. If you want to choose to do this to your body, that is absolutely okay. What I am against is mandates. A mandate is not even a legal requirement. There is no law behind a mandate. A mandate is simply a suggestion that if you comply with it voluntarily, then you've complied with it. So I choose not to comply with voluntary, unnecessary medical procedures. So yeah. I did for a long time in the military, but I also thought that we were all honest brokers coming at this from the same place. In fact, I need to bring my shot record in here so that, because when people call me an anti-vaxxer, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, dude. Like, I've had every shot there is under the sun except for the COVID vax. And the reason why I didn't do that one is because I could tell, I mean, I was a clandestine operative. It's pretty obvious that, like, it doesn't take a clandestine operative to know that they're lying to me. You know, something in that milk is sour. So if Pfizer, if they want to inject me with something, but then they want me to wait 75 years, by the way, I'm 47. So if I add, I'm not very smart, but if I add 47 plus 75, I'm pretty sure the number that I get is I'm dead. So if they want to wait until I'm dead to tell me what was in the vax that they gave me, and oh, by the way, the indications for use sheet that comes in the vaccines, which is completely blank. It says intentionally blank on the page. And I'll go grab it. I'll show you. We've got one right here in our office if you
it's
want
bizarre.
To see it.
Yeah, bizarre.
It's bizarre. I show this to people all the time. They're like, oh, what? In fact, I've showed it to pharmacists before who were shocked to find out. One of which just laughed when she saw it. And she was like, it's fine. And I was like, really? So you're just, I was like, okay, Dr. Mengele, you know, go for it. You know, good you. That's between you and God. So the only thing as I know is that we're all going to meet God at some point, whether or not you believe in him, whether or not you want to, you're going to meet him. So you got this life to do the best you can, figure it out, earn your way back, and then you're going to have an interview with the man. At some point, I'm just hoping that my interview goes well.
Adam, are you familiar with the Landmark Control Group study and Greg Glazer out of California, who's heading that up?
No. What's the context?
It is a probably the most definitive study comparing vaccinated individuals and non-vaxxed, and the data is very. I'll share the information with you by email when we get off here. Yeah. I think it would be a great contact for you.
I would be very interested in seeing that because I know what we've seen internally. So we have our doctor network, by the way, so that your audience, your listeners understand. I mean, I know we've talked about geopolitics and gaslighting and, you know, all the other stuff. But what I do so that your listeners kind of have a little bit more background is I am the CEO of a company called Remote Health Solutions. We are a national telehealth and direct primary care / concierge medicine provider network. And we've been around for 5 years. So it's important to understand that we were in the telehealth business before COVID ever came around. It's not like we're telehealth grifters or something like that, that we said, oh, COVID, cool, let's go start this new thing. That's not at all what we were. In fact, we were started originally to provide medical services remotely for the military in the field. So because again, with that MS diagnosis in Afghanistan, I was totally misdiagnosed in Afghanistan. They thought that I had a tumor, and then they thought that I had been blown up and I had a traumatic brain injury. I was like, guys, I didn't get blown up. But people have to understand that, you know, military doctors are just like anybody else in the sense of once they get kind of trained to think about something a certain way, you know, somebody goes in there, you're in Afghanistan, this is Kandahar, you're part of a special operations unit, you definitely got blown up. And no, I didn't, guys. I did not get blown up. So I was asleep in my bunk last night. I woke up and I couldn't walk, basically. So, so when I looked at that, I said, wow, this remote medical care, we could have these really cool technology in these boxes and everything else. And a surgeon who's back in Fort Bragg could see like a medic who's 10,000 miles away and treating somebody and says, hey, I don't know how to do this amputation in the field. I need your help because I'm afraid that the patient's going to bleed out, that kind of thing. So that's how we started. And then it just morphed when last year I saw them firing all the hospital workers for refusing the jab. And that's when I said, okay, screw this. Our whole company, the mission is set, is changing. And now we're on a mission to hire every single doctor, nurse, qualified healthcare professional, whatever, that was fired or forced to resign for refusing the experimental vaccine. And the reason why I'm passionate about that mission is because it is about defending the most critical pillar of society from a tyrannical takeover. And that's exactly what this is all about. It has nothing to do with left or right. This is not political in any sense of the word, other than we are for medical freedom. We are for individual sovereignty, for full disclosure of things, we are for a patient's best interest, best outcome, or for all of those things. We're against illegality, immorality, you know, tyranny, lockdowns, mandates, which I'm sorry, as a society, if you can't objectively at this point look around and say, masks didn't work, lockdowns didn't work, the jab doesn't work. 29,000 people dead, according to various CDC's own documented data, which I think is severely underreported. Most people think that's underreported by about 99%. If that's the case, the numbers are staggering and horrific. Yeah. So that's, Adam, that's just who we are.
Give us a rundown as to how RHS works. So let's say if I'm a patient and I'm of our persuasion where I've refused to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. My GP has said, you know, you're a dirty unvaccinated Jew. You can't come into my office to receive medical treatment. And so now I'm looking for a new modality of healthcare for myself and my family. Mm-hmm. I see an ad for RHS. I make a phone call. What are the next steps from there?
Yeah, we welcome everybody who's forced to wear the Star of David, you know, or get on the train and head down to the local concentration camp. You know, I mean, I say that a little bit tongue in cheek, but it is 100% the truth. We have gotten into this business as a society of separating people, vaxxed from unvaxxed, white from black, LGBT plus IA, blah, 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 versus the white man or something like that, you know, capitalist versus, I mean, it's just, as soon as you start to do that, we're already headed down the road to war, the road to instability. It's not a good thing. So I say no to all that. We say no to all that. And I'll tell you how it works is this. So if there is a person out there who has, let's say, a health insurance deductible, they have health insurance for their family, whatever else, they're listening to this and their health insurance deductible is more than $2,000 a month, $2,000 for the year, which 99% of health plans are more than, the deductible is more than $2,000 a year, you need to come be in a network like ours. And the reason for that is because it's going to save you money and you're going to get concierge level access to care that you've never had in your life. And so you go, if you're a patient, you sign up for our service and it's $149 a month. If you're an adult, it's $99 a month. If you're a kid, and a kid is defined as 21 and under, you come into our service, and what we guarantee you is that you are going to have access to a freedom-loving, God-fearing, honest and ethical, licensed, qualified medical professional, whether that's a nurse, nurse practitioner, PA, MD, DO, specialist. We have them all. But that network is only accessible through membership in our program called Pocket Care for $149 a month, or you can actually sign up for a one-off appointment. Let's say you just needed, you wanted preventive or post-exposure COVID care, and you wanted access to real information, ways to actually keep you out of the hospital, preventive meds like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, those kind of things, which work, by the way. I will tell you that our protocols, and you can put us in the tin hat category, but there's a reason why ivermectin is literally still listed as the number two medication in the world by the WHO on their critical medications list. It's been around for over 40 years. It's been prescribed more than 4 or 5 billion times. The side effects are well documented, well known. It is literally a godsend. And one of the reasons why it is a godsend is because, like everything else good in the world, God just kind of put it in the ground or on the ground and said, hey, dummy, look down, pick it up. He said everything. Now, for those of your audience that are not believers or listeners, that's fine. But I would recommend you go back and you just look at like some Genesis, some basic like book one, Old Testament Bible stuff. And here's what, here was the skinny from a few thousand years ago. God said, hey, we made this thing called the earth, and it's pretty cool. And then everything that walks on it or lives on it, you have dominion over. You as in mankind. So that's Adam, that's Eve, the rest of you. Y'all have dominion over all of the beasts, all of the plants and everything else. And everything you need to survive is here. So it's kind of like, if you think about it in a weird little sense, it's like you got dropped into the Running Man. So if you remember back, like, let me take you back like 30 years ago or something, 20, 25 years ago, whenever Arnold Schwarzenegger made that movie. So it's, you get dropped into this arena and you got to play this game. This game is called life. But in it, the man who put you in the arena is saying, everything you need to survive is right there at your feet. So that's great. Now, let me take this a step further for your listeners. Big Pharma understands that concept very well. And what they have done is they have taken everything natural and they understand its value. So for example, they understand that ivermectin has tremendous anti-parasitic, anti-cancer, antiviral properties. And for a long time, they promoted it because they had a patent on it. They made a ton of money on it. Now it's 40 years after the making and it's not patentable. And it's available over the counter in any country. And like, we're the only, one of the only countries in the world that ivermectin is required to have a prescription for, which is so funny because that's how many times have I been prescribed ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine when I was a military member deploying overseas? Like every time. So you go to Africa and I guarantee you, you're going to be on a regimen of hydroxychloroquine every single day. And people say, well, you know, is there anything I need to worry about? And they say, well, it might give you funny dreams. Other than that, no, you're good. So maybe some GI issues, you know, if you take too much of it. And that's it.
Yeah.
But people just have to understand, like, there's nothing I can tell your audience other than you got to take responsibility for your own life, your own decisions. None of us get out of this deal alive. Unfortunately, you know, I'm still offended by the fact that I have to die at some point. I mean, I guess that's a little bit of an ego problem for me. Maybe I got to work on.
You got lots to do, Adam. So yeah. I can see it. You're looking forward and saying, I got more to do than maybe I've got time for. So,
well, you know, I want to help as many people as I can. And when I say like, I don't have anything else to say to your audience, except for your audience. And I'm sure most of them already do this. They work hard. They study, they educate themselves. If they didn't have a curiosity about real answers to these problems that we're faced with, they wouldn't listen to your show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's
one thing right there, right? So that's a pre-qualified, almost vetted person. And I would love to speak to them intently and say, you know, come be part of our network, build the alternate economy, like help stand up, get your children involved. You know, people say, oh, like I got to protect the children, this and that. Yes, you do. You do need, as a parent, it is your responsibility to protect your children and to look out for their best interest And to tell them, no, you're only 7 years old. It's not time for you to be a man or a woman if you're the opposite sex. It's, why don't you give that a few years and think about it there, pal, you know, instead of like all the craziness that we see. So it is a parent's job to be a parent. And then it is also the individual's job to make the best educated guess on what the correct course of action is with the information that they have at the time that they have it. And that's how you have to move forward in life. And I would tell all of your listeners, they need to be part of our network. And I don't say that in the sense of like, you know, I'm just a greedy fat capitalist. What I mean by that is, so if you're in our network and you pay me $150 a month to be in that network, to have access to your provider anytime you want access to your provider, that means on Easter Sunday, when everything else is closed, you don't have to go to the ER, or you don't have to take little Timmy to the ER. You can call us, and you don't have to pay anymore because it's on Easter Sunday. You don't have to pay another fee. You don't have to. So if you have to come see me 10 times a month, and I don't mean me, I'm not even a doctor, but if you have to come see one of the doctors in our network 10 times a month, I don't make any more money on that. In fact, I get hurt big time because I still have to pay my doctors, but you don't have to pay anymore. So if you think about this, like all things in life, follow the money. And in our network, I am financially incentivized when you are healthy and you are well and you are empowered and your best outcome, you're living your best life and you don't need us every month. I'm best off when you come see us 3-4 times a year, you know, and the rest of the time you're in the network, you pay your monthly membership fee. And then I'm thrilled when you're like that. When you have to come see us 10 times a month, I'm in big, big trouble, because my whole business is going to go under if I got hundreds of people like that, right? Sure. So if you think about it, the hospital, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. Especially, let's just take COVID. So a hospital isn't financially incentivized when you pop positive on that PCR test, which let's not even get into the PCR tests. But a hospital is then further incentivized once you're admitted to the ICU. Once you're admitted to the ICU, they get another financial incentive when you go on remdesivir, which is about $3,500 a dose, from what I understand. Beyond that, once you're on remdesivir, they would love to intubate you. Once you're intubated, there's another financial incentive. And then ultimately, for a non-respiratory disease profile that is could have been handled early on with some vitamin D, some ivermectin, some zinc, maybe some hydroxychloroquine. I'm a big fan of HCQ. But all your listeners know these things. So early intervention is key on that stuff. And a healthy immune system is key. A healthy lifestyle is key. We help you do all that stuff. We want you to have all those things. We're not going to be the people who are like, oh, we can't see you because you're not vaxxed, or because you didn't get your third booster or whatever it is. And then we're not going to be the people who are like, yeah, well, you know, you shouldn't take any vitamins and you shouldn't take any early interventive treatment protocols. You should just wait until your oxygen levels are below 92% saturation rate. And then when you're critically in a bad state, then come see us and then we'll put you on a respirator, of which 92% of people who are put on respirators and 54% of people who take remdesivir will die. And so then when you die, we'll get a financial incentive. And oftentimes if you have some kind of a medical power of attorney, or you have other interests that you want served, we're not going to do that. And we're not going to let your family have access to you, and you're going to die, and that's it. I mean, I'm sorry to be like so dire, but that is the reality. I get slammed with this reality every week.
That's still happening.
Wow. Still happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and in Canada, the situation is even more dire.
How would you even know? How would you even know? Because it's not even covered. The media is not going to tell you about it. Our ads get canceled for saying medical freedom on Facebook. We're not allowed to say medical freedom. I'm not allowed to say liberated medicine. I'm in permanent Twitter jail, for, I didn't even tweet it back when President Trump was still president. He sent out a video clip of me talking on One American News. And I responded. I just said, thank you, Mr. President, for the shout out. It's, you know, it's an honor. I mean, it was. I mean, the President of the United States. To be like, wow, that's awesome. And for that, I was banned, permanently suspended for life from Twitter, which I laughed back then. And I was like, well, it's nice to know that I got banned at the same time President Trump did. I was like, I kind of felt like I was in a cool club, right? You know, I was like, just a bunch of outlaws and rejects. So if your people want to come be part of the outlaws and rejects, then I recommend they come to rhsusa.com/pocketcare and sign up. If there are providers, doctors and nurses and other practitioners that are listening that want to get involved with something like this, they should send us an email at team@rhsusa.com. So providers, send us an email, patients, sign up. So anyway, hit me, Mike.
Yeah, so is that service thus far available only for folks living within America, or have you extended outside of the borders now?
Well, it is only in the US, the 50 United States. And, you know, we've had a lot of calls from Canada and we'd love to help Canada. Here's the problem with going cross border. I don't have a way to legally have my providers prescribe medications, diagnose and medically treat across that international line. So I will tell any of your border dwellers that are Canucks, if they cross that line into any one of the 50 US states, we're happy to help them out.
Right, okay.
Because it is the physical location of the patient that matters according to the law. And I will tell you another thing. We follow every applicable law that there is. So HIPAA compliant, high tech, all the US code stuff, blah, blah, blah. Because we're already so on the edge, right? Providing early interventive treatment and everything else. And so we make sure that our providers are licensed, they have a clean record and everything else in all the states that they're practicing in. And so just so your people know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, in Canada, I did a little bit of research prior to the show and, you know, this would be considered private healthcare, which mm-hmm. essentially is illegal in this country. So, I mean, this could operate in a gray zone. And there are some other agencies in Canada that are trying to do something similar and are being met with regulatory hurdles left, right, and center. And of course, you know, in Canada, our COVID treatment is even worse than what you're describing in America. It's basically, you know, once you're dying, come to the hospital, we'll assist you in your passing alone in the dark sort of thing. And we've heard reports out of the hospital of family members smuggling ivermectin into the hospital wards, patient recovering, doctors freaking out, searching the room, finding the ivermectin, throwing it out, and the patient, you know, continues on a downward trajectory. It's madness. It truly is.
It really is madness. I could not agree with you more, Mike. And I will tell you that the people that are in our network are that is the best. That is the silver lining. It goes back to the leopards have shown their spots. That is the silver lining in all of this, is that we have the most compassionate, the best freedom loving, God fearing network of providers I think that has ever been assembled on this planet. And so, yeah, I think we've got close to 200 providers in our network now. It's very robust. I wish we could serve Canada. I really do. I wish we could, frankly, serve the world. Our objective is to help as many people as possible. But until the wheels really come off this whole thing, we're going to play everything above board, straight, legally. You know, I mean, they're trying to make it as difficult as possible, and they are making it tough. But they're not going to break us. It's just it's that simple.
So is part of your service an educational side of things too, in terms of empowering people in terms of their self-care and their health and wellness and being accountable for their own health?
Yes, sir. 100%. Because, you know, we've been fed a bunch of garbage for most of our lives, frankly, about, you know, how much treatment you need, when you need it. If you think about it, it's like, why does an 18-year-old kid need a physical? Or a 16-year-old healthy high school athlete need a physical every year? I don't know, where did that come from? And why do we have to have annual shots for the flu that never seem to work or stop the flu or prevent people from getting it? You know what I mean? So exactly, money. So follow the money, like all things. So yes, I will tell you that our network is all about the empowerment of the individual. And that is whether it's the provider or it's the patient, we're all about the empowerment of that individual to get the best care that they can to build a business for themselves, the providers, for them to have an understanding of really what does create wellness versus what gets you from month to month, just so that you can get your next supply of whatever the drug is that the big pharma wants to sell you.
Yeah, and I think that's a key phrase, that there needs to be a transition from health slash sick care into wellness. And, you know, the human body has a tremendous amount of resiliency and the ability to heal itself given the opportunity. And if you're continuing to abuse it, or not taking care of it in its optimum way, you're gonna result in illness and disease. It's a simple prognosis. Whereas if you take the measures to take care of yourself and eat healthy, exercise, have a good clean mind, you're gonna have a much different health outcome.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, 100%.
So in your opinion, what has created this horrible healthcare and hospital care system that we see in America today? How have we arrived at this conjuncture?
I think like most things, it's just a slow creep over time. And as you transition from one generation to the next, information and knowledge gets lost, and then the next generation has to learn it. And so it's kind of like you get these incremental improvements and understanding slowly over time, but I think they've had 50, 60, almost 100 years to slowly creep and move this thing along, and now you're left with this sort of dystopian nightmare that has really all come to the surface, and it turns out it's all true. That's the biggest mind blower for me, is the fact that the conspiracy theories are real. That was the awakener for me. And I'm really bummed that my kids are going to be faced smacked with that reality. And I have done everything that I knew how to do, and I will continue to do everything that I know how to do. But it turns out for those 20 years that I was running around chasing bad guys around the world, I was actually fighting not necessarily the wrong enemy, but I was not aware of the enemy at home.
Sure.
And now I am. I'm intimately aware of the enemy at home. And it's very real, and it's here. And I put myself out there very publicly as a warrior against it, because I intend to be that rock against which they are smashing and trying to break, but I will not break. And the people that are in our network will not break. So, at the end of the day, I'm selling vitamins and telehealth appointments. But in my mind, what we're doing is far beyond that. And sure, the network that we're creating, the implications are vast. And what we will do is hold the line. Think of us as the standard bearer. We will hold the line for America and freedom, family and faith and freedom. And that is, I guess you're not going to hear a lot of medical groups talk about that kind of stuff, but that's where we are. And if your people want access to honest and reliable practitioners, they need to come see us. They need to be in a network like this. And by the way, leave at any time. There's no contract, no obligation. We're not out to get you.
Excellent. Excellent. So for those that still believe in big pharma and big medicine and that government is going to coddle you from birth to grave and take care of their very well-being and their survival, what are some questions that you would have them answer to perhaps wake them up to their situation?
Has what you've done in the past worked for you? And is it working for you today? And do you think that it will work for you tomorrow? And if the answer is no to any of those things, and maybe you should check some of your assumptions. And if your assumptions are wrong, then maybe you should consider that your emotional base is not founded on truth. And if that's the case, then you have to question yourself and seek out other answers. Because, I mean, I can't help you if you don't want to be helped. It's like, I'm going to help my kids. I'm going to help my family. I'm going to help my company, my employees, my network, our patients, anyone that wants help. We're here. We want to help. But if you're not ready, I can't help you. And we're going to lose a lot along the way, sadly.
Sure.
It's already started. It's here. It's now. And I apologize. Unfortunately, I've got to go in exactly 2 minutes. But we're here for you, your patients, your listeners, your providers who are out there, anybody. This is it, man. This is it. So if there was a single call to action, I would say, whether or not you come in, join, be part of our network or whatever else, that's neither here nor there. The bigger issue is you as an individual parent, as a patriot, as a freedom lover, must stand up now. You must speak for your children. You must stand for your children. You must build your network. You must align with your local, patriotic, freedom-loving, honest people and stand. And that's it. And you will throw off tyranny.
Excellent. All right, I'll let you go here. Last question then is, if the listeners would like to learn more about RHS, where would you direct them?
RHSUSA.com. That's our main website. That's Remote Health Solutions, RHSUSA.com. Also, if they want to learn specifically about membership and our concierge level access to providers program, it would be RHSUSA.com/pocketcare. That's one word, pocket care. And then finally, if you have providers that are out there that want to potentially explore being part of our network, they should send us an email at team@rhsusa.com. That's team@rhsusa.com. I really appreciate you having me on, Mike. It's a real honor.
Yes, thank you, sir. And I appreciate what you're doing. And I thank you for your service and your continued efforts to help humanity here. You're a great man, and God bless you.
Thanks. Same to you, buddy. And go fight, win. Let's accept nothing but total victory and domination.
Amen. Have a good day, sir.
Roger that. See ya.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.